Hello everyone. Today's sermon is again the Genesis, chapter 9 to 11. We'll cover the topic, the important topic. It's called the Babel Tower, incident of Babel Tower. We don't call a story, it's an incident of Babel Tower, which is the last topic of the first half of the Genesis. The first half of Genesis actually belongs to everyone. The common history, the original common history of all mankind, which started from the creation and second one, fall of man from due to their sin. Well, the third one is Noah's flood, the flood judgment. The last topic is the Babel Tower incident, which is a separation of language from the Babel Tower incident. So, in other words, we call the origin, the story of the origins of the nations, where all people are scattered throughout the world. Again, the last topic, last theme of the original history of all mankind applied to basically everyone on the earth. So for the last 2 weeks, we went through the story about the global flood judgment. Because of their evil behavior of basically all mankind except the Noah and his family. Please have a look at chapter 8, verse 20 to 22. The God's covenant with Noah. Let me read through again chapter 8, verse 20 to 22, book of Genesis. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird, offered burnt offerings on the altar. Obviously, Noah knew how to put the offering to God. And verse 21, and when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. Chapter verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and hard, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. That's the first time the weather was mentioned here. So this was the God's covenant he made with Noah, as Noah put an offering, burnt offerings to God. Again, you can read through the subsequent the chapters and verses in it. So God clearly mentioned that at this time, God won't curse the earth again through water. He will not judge all life like this again. And now, as long as the earth exists, it will be sowing, reaping, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, day and night, etc. All the weather is there. It will never cease until the end of the earth. Okay, chapter 9, verse 1 to 17, Noah and the rainbow covenant. God reminded us to, whenever we see rainbow, he wanted us to remind how evil the mankind was, and so why the mankind was swept away with the water from the God's judgment. It's the first time when Adam and Eve were created, they were commanded, they were to grow and multiply and fill the earth, give people everything to live and eat. So from this time on, they were going to eat meat since Noah's flood. It is clear that the blood does not eat with blood. When you see from in the contents of chapter 9, it is clear that the God commanded the human not to eat anything with blood because of there is life in the blood. That is, he commanded us not to commit murder, which would shed man's blood. That is because man is a resembles to the image of God. We are like God. We look like him. So he doesn't want us to murder someone who has the image of God. Killing a person is like killing God. Therefore, we who resemble the image of God bow down to the idols and devote to the priesthood is indeed an action of insulting God. So, again, I repeat here, God clearly commanded us not to murder, also not to bow down to an image or the idols, because it's insulting God, basically. For example, Korean has a culture that we tend to bow down to the tomb of our grandparents and our ancestors. If we really meet our grandparents after we die, it wouldn't be like a temple that we bow down to. We'll meet him all together, get judged before Christ. There is only judgment after one's death. We don't need to bow down to someone's tomb, who is basically the symbol of their death and their deadly flesh is contained in it. If we offer to the offering before the tomb of one of our ancestors, they are closely linked to the Buddhism, the culture. God is not going to be around to eat sacrifices of our the ancestors, basically one of Noah's descendants. Who will be behind it? It's not God or God's angels. It's clearly Satan sitting behind it. He's trying to enjoy the worship from us, also worship of himself from us. He will enjoy that, get worshipped by who resembles the image of God. So Satan will love to receive and truly enjoy the worship from us. So our God, our good God and Almighty God, made a covenant with with Noah and his descendants. He promised that there would never be a judgment due to the flood and using the water. But that he will keep the rainbow as a sign of his promise, and will remember his covenant made with Noah and his descendants, with people, every time whenever we see the rainbow. Have a look at chapter 9, verse 18 to 29. The theme of these scriptures is Noah's descendants. The last life of Noah. After this, now that through Noah and his three sons, mankind spread all over the earth. And these families were not scattered for the first time. They seem to have planted vines when they lived together. Yeah, I think that Noah and his kids, three sons, and the family made wine. If Noah overcooked and drank it and took it, then he was naked. And Noah's one of sons, whose name is Ham, saw his dad's naked body and told his the other two brothers. Whereas the other two brothers, whose name is Shem and Japheth, those two had carefully covered their father's transgression. It is said that Noah later cursed the youngest son of Ham, of the ancestor of Canaan, and became a servant of Shem and Japheth. It was a curse from their father Noah. The Canaan, who was the youngest son of Ham in the future, seemed to have witnessed Noah's agony and seemed to be ridiculed with it. When you look at the character of God, the curse doesn't happen. Sorry, there was a technical issue. Just let us know. Just type in if you can hear this sermon. Wind back a little bit. After Noah's flood, Noah and his sons and their families, they spread all over the earth. Before they did so, there was one story. Apparently, Noah and his son planted wine. And the winery trees, they got the Noah, drank it, fell asleep. And apparently Noah was heavily drunk at one of the occasions. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Ham looked at his father's naked body and sort of insulted him because he told his two brothers, whereas the Shem and Japheth had carefully covered his father's transgressions. Later, Noah found out what happened. And Noah indeed, the cursed, the youngest son of Ham, whose name is Canaan, became a servant of Shem and Japheth's descendants in the future. Perhaps The Canaan, the youngest son of Ham, seemed to have witnessed Noah's agony, the curse. It seemed to be ridiculed with it. But when you look at the character of God, it wasn't indeed a predetermined. If I say I'm to get a curse to you, and I curse your descendants, does it mean his descendants automatically get cursed regardless of what they do? Of course not. That's not the way that God works through us. We have a free will, and we have a freedom to choose what to do. You look at the history right after Noah's three sons and their sons, family trees. We can see that the Ham and his descendants actually became evil. They disobeyed to God. As a consequence of it, they had a very hard life for a long time or period. The whole history of the Bible reveals that the curse of Noah to his grandchildren, the Ham's son, Canaan, this time seems to have been done as it is. But again, it's not because of man's curse. It seems the original the cause should be their lifestyle without paying attention so much to God's word. They apparently what happened is that they lived according to what they think is right. So eating the fruit of the tree to know good and evil. Even though they realized what's good and evil, they had the right, they had the free will to choose the one or the other. But apparently Ham and his descendants chose to go the evil way. In other words, by challenging the God, their Savior, living with their own will. That was a consequence of what happened in the future. In chapter 10, which describes the descendants of Noah, it describes the nations descended from Noah and his sons. It basically shows the origin of all nations and how they spread all over the world. You can tabulate it as shown on the screen. It's easy to know how it's all those ancient names that we can see from the Bible, or name of the areas, name of all the nations. It originated from chapter 10, and Noah's three sons and their kids. In particular, chapter 10 describes the descendants of Noah. There are various explanations for Nimrod among the families of Ham. Because Nimrod is indeed a very important person, shows in details in the following story, which is Tower of Babel. If you refer to the Bible, particularly this chapter 10, in other translations, the Nimrod, he is trapped in explanation that take the land of his brothers and then selfishly enlarge his territory. Anyway, again, the highlight is the curse that Noah uttered as he did to his grandson, Canaan, is by no means effective. Basically, his curse has no effect here. It is in the Bible, according to the Proverbs, chapter 26, verse 2. But if the parents of the family do not live according to the righteousness of God and according to the word of God, but live according to their desires in their hearts, of course, because their children look like their parents, that they become look like they are. It seems as if bad curses are inherited, as the evil that appears in one family is passed on. Some people say that they must cut off the curses flowing into the household, because it's not flowing. Again, it's their choice whether they choose to go that way or the other way. The Bible clearly states that parents' sins are not transferred passed down to their children. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Anyway, I hope you can remember the lesson about the alcohol that records the harm caused by alcohol from the Noah. Because Noah was naked, after he was heavily drunk, what happened to the curse and what happened to his descendants? Noah lived 350 years after the flood and died at 950, when he was 950 years old. It is interesting to see Abraham, the faithful person chosen by God, who was the ancestor of the Israelites, was born before Noah died. Abraham, whom we often treat in the Bible, was born more than 3 years later after the flood. I hope you will be able to know the story of the Bible with a good sense of this biblical chronology. Okay, move on to chapter 10, verse 1 to 32. The children of Noah, nations descended from Noah. We usually tend to do it first if there is an important story. First, before showing the important story, which is the Tower of Babel, it sets out how Noah and his three sons had children, how they maintained or passed down their descendants' life. And so we could make a whole big family tree, which is applicable to all mankind nowadays. First of all, about the descendants of Japheth, and about the descendants of Ham, then tell the story of Shem's descendants. Basically, Shem's descendants include Jewish people from Abraham. In the case of Japheth, you will see the seven descendants. We usually know the children of Noah are in the order of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You can see that Japheth comes out as the eldest son. Most of the Bible in our language translated Shem into his brother. Anyway, the descendants of Japheth seem to have moved to the present Asia Minor region, the western side of Turkey, and Greece, Rome, and Europe, basically the European, the legion, whose name, names of Japheth's son, Gomel, which forms the Germany, Magog, all the way up to Syria, and the Soviet Union. The Media, Media and Persia, that area, is named as Mada, and Javan, and the Greece, Duval, the Georgia, and Mesek, and Moscow, Diras, the Russians. So all those ancient European countries are basically based on names of Japheth's sons. In the case of Ham, only four children are recorded here in chapter 10. In case of grandchildren, it can be seen that there are more than 6 to 10 people in one family. The Ham basically moved down to Egypt and further down in the African regions. And after Noah, the population growth rate was gradually increasing. It seems the descendants of Ham have generally moved towards the Middle East and Africa, with on the Red Sea, Cush is Ethiopia, Mislim is Egypt, Brush is Libya, Canaan is Palestine, Sheba is Yemen. As you can see in the actual geography, like shown on the screen, if you look at the history of that countries. Those countries, you can see that it is included in the history of the Bible. Okay, move on to the last case. In the case of Shem, you will see the five descendants, the Elam, the Persia, and Iran, Assyria, whose name is directly used as Assyria, Arphaxad is Babylon and Haran, and Ruth is Lydia, Aram is Syria. Those five sons are recorded in chapter 10. In this way, descendants of Shem are moved universally towards Asian legions, the Eastern legion from the Israel. That perhaps our nations also look like descendants of Shem. Furthermore, for the Native Americans, their language is very similar to ours indeed. These are also called Shemites, descendants of Shem. So all the names, Noah's three sons, the names Noah's grandkids, names mentioned here in chapter 10 are historically known such beings as a nation. So when you read it, we learn the names of historical people through the world history. It all begins with the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth from Noah. The children of Shem are all made up of a great nation, the third son, Arphaxad. Seems to have failed to form a special nation. I think he thinks he walked around the brothers' lands. And Abraham emerged from this small and fragile nation. That's why our God can use him to open the door of salvation, using the small, fragile, a person originated from small and fragile, the country and a nation. But he didn't choose someone who came from the strong and the powerful nation in order to show his greatness, not the people's greatness. So probably we might have learned from the history class in the school, when you look at all the archaeological results and studies, we all know that we believe that there were the four major ancient civilizations all over the world, one from Mesopotamian region, which is in the Middle East, the other one, the Egyptian civilization, which of course from Egypt, and the other one, the Chinese one, along the Yellow River region, that one of the origin of all the Asian civilizations. Also another one, Indus, a river along that area in South America. The Indus civilization is the origin of all civilizations on that area in American continent. So when you look at all those four civilizations, all closely linked to the names of Noah's grandchildren. So again, what we are going through here is historical facts, which is original of old or ancient civilizations we learned from the school and secular education. The reason why we've been going through those chronology information, that it's not easy to study, also to summarize. The reason why I keep emphasizing those contents, it sounds quite dry, but it's a very important link what we have learned from secular education to the biblical facts we learn, we choose as an absolute truth and where we believe on. So according to any knowledge, there shouldn't be any conflict. We should build the confidence upon what we believe as an absolute truth. So as we go through those chronological information and the stories, I hope all you you guys, it will help you enhance your faith as you read through the Word of God. So verse 32 here in chapter 10, these are the descendants of Noah's children who are divided according to the genealogies of their families. Many people that came out of these people after the flood, they spread out all over the world. So in terms of the world history, we can see the time of the emergence of these four major civilizations were around 3000 BC. It is believed that the Mesopotamian civilization was about 3500 BC is the earliest one, and the Egyptian civilization is the next, about 3,200 BC, and the Indus civilization in an American region is about 2,500 BC. The last one in the Chinese civilizations are the latest, from the Han dynasty, which is the origin of the China and the Asian countries. Apart from the Chinese civilization, all the other three will affect each other later in the following histories. Whereas the Chinese civilization is developed by its own characteristics, sort of separated from the other three. So Oriental culture is usually then used to refer to Egyptian and Mesopotamian civilizations. So when you look at the age of those four civilizations emerged after the flood judgment, it tells us that the history of Bible is actually the historical fact. It is an unreasonable interpretation to hold that over to 2,500 years to emphasize the superiority of the nations. Jesus is basically all included in the Bible story. It is absolutely not easy to grasp the history of the past and ancient period in the world history. But the Bible is the only book that can set out in great details how it happened, why it happened, how it continued, and so on. So again, I highlight here again, the history of the world very well coincides with what Bible tells us. And indeed, the Bible tells us the story and the reason why it happened, how it developed. In fact, although it's very hard to match exactly, it is the Bible, between the Bible's biblical age and the secular history of the world. When you read and meditate and think about the Bible, we can imagine that how great details is described in the Bible in order to for God to show us this invaluable Word of God into us. Let's move on to the important theme, the Tower of Babel, the chapter 11. The Babel Tower incident occurred in the age of Peleg, which is sort of between Noah's flood and the story of Abraham. It happened obviously in the age of Peleg, because the name of Peleg, its meaning is it divided. The Peleg was the fifth generation from Noah, based on the genealogy of Genesis, its lifespan. It's shown in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 25. After 100 years, 100 years after the flood, that's about when the Tower of Babel happened. When Noah was 600 years old, there was a flood. The Peleg was born about 100 years later. So 100 years after the flood, Noah's the fifth generation, Peleg, was born. Yeah? The Bible clearly tells us that the world was divided at the time of the Peleg, whose name is divided. So obviously, Peleg's father, who was the fourth generation of Noah, has experienced the Tower of Babel incident and named his son Peleg as a meaning of divided. Were scattered in order to record this the important story to tell his descendants not to forget. So after the flood, about 100 to 200 years later, the Babel Tower incident happened. This is about the time scale. Again, it's important to remember, after Noah's flood, 100 or 200 years later, the Babel Tower incident happened. So since they have built a Tower of Babel to universally reaching to the heavens, that was their intention, to access to where God is present. Indeed, it's a very evil purpose. They thought they could reach God by their own ability. It shows that how evil they were, how rapidly forgot the flood's judgments, how they were saved by God's grace. So it's about 100 years after the flood. How much did the population increase from Noah's family? So in Genesis 10, Noah had 6 grandchildren from his 3 sons. Since there are only 16 grandchildren, the number of women who can marry a man is 16 again. So Shem, Ham, and Japheth had an average of 10.7 children. But before the flood, an average children over 100 years old had an average age of 30 after the flood. So we can see that before and after flood, the average lifetime rapidly dropped exponentially. So about the three decades after the flood, there are about three generations. In about 200 years, about seven generations. Again, 10 generations would have been born in 300 years. If the first generation of Noah's grandchildren came out of the ark, and there were about 32 or 16 pairs. In later generations, had an average of 12 children or 6 pairs in one family. It is not accurate, but about just over 100 pairs in the second generation. And when you do the simple math, about 650 pairs in the third generation, and just less than 4,000 pairs in the fourth generation. And 24 or 23,000 pairs in the fifth generation. So the exact what I tell you here is there were enough time to build up on the rapid population growth. So at that time, within the 100 years after the Noah's floods, they had enough number of people who could gather together as a single society or single civilization, which is quite risky. If they decide to go the wrong way, they would go all the wrong way together to die. So it is very sad that within the short period of time, which is 100 to 200 years, all Noah's descendants and grandchildren's grandchildren, they all forgot what happened to Noah and his three sons and families. They absolutely forgot how they were saved from the flood's judgment. This is human. We are very forgetful creatures. Doesn't have a long-term memory. Also, it's hard to pass down important information to our right next generation. If you don't educate them, they go to the way where they think they're right to go. So about 100 years after the flood, this Babel Tower incident, the first generation to fourth generation of Noah, it's about 4,000 pairs of people. It's a rough estimate of total population at that time when Tower of Babel story incident happened. Maybe at most 10,000 people around. So it's not about the hundreds of millions of people existed at that time. It wasn't small, but it wasn't super large, gigantic number of populations. So apparently they had a single language as a single nation. They could communicate to everyone of the earth at that time. Even though you artificially put one or two generations between these genealogies, between Noah's flood and the Tower of Babel, at the time of the Tower of Babel, the population of the earth was only a few millions at most. I mentioned a little while last week, when Jesus came, he saw the population of the entire earth is about 200 million. And when you look back at the history about 500 years ago, in 1600s, there were about 500 million, and in the 1800s, a billion, and 1930, 2 billion, 1960, and 3 billion. So as we think, there are not so many populations on the earth as in the past. Nowadays, today, it is about 7 billion people living on the earth. Most people on the earth are living together in the civilization, big cities. Some people have criticized the Bible that the little population has built a huge building that reaches the sky. In the view of that flow, on the view of the Bible, the Tower of Babel story is much more likely to be a fairy tale story, because we believe the Tower of Babel is a very, very tall building. It requires a lot of the human workforce to build. In this case, question originated from the reason that not knowing, ignoring the whole flow of the Bible. So we have to think about what the Bible Tower is saying about the law of population growth. To let the building reach the sky, in order to build such a building, it's necessary to have a large population. But it seems to be the contradiction. So when you cannot keep up with the historical trends, we may have some foolish idea. So the most important thing is not about the size of Tower of Babel, the purpose of the building of this Babel Tower, the pride that was supposed to be like God. They wanted to reach to where God is present. That's the main point here. It is a fact that we are sort of repeating again and again nowadays. Since Adam and Eve ate the fruits from trees of good and evil, like Noah's children and descendants, we are also turning again to the path of disobedience and sin to be against God. Through the Babel Tower incident, the descendants after the flood grew and grew and flourished and scattered around. But their faith in God gradually faded out. Why? So why then, between 100 to 200 years after the flood, the global flood judgments, did it quickly become a life of disobeying God and forgetting the judgment of flood? Indeed, 100 to 200 years is a long, long time for humans. It's about 3 generations. When you look back, if our great-great-grandfather, what they have done, we don't remember at all. We will have a totally different life. We have no idea of what they have done. It is a human being who cannot remember the past for a long time, not even 100 years. So in the case of the flood, over 100 years after the flood, it would have been just like the old, very old story in the past. It's like a fairy tale. We deal with the stories that happened in our great father's days. We take it sometimes like that, like a fairy tale. It's not really relevant to us or applicable to nowadays lifestyle. Indeed, which is very common and sensible to do so as a human. After the flood, as descendants of 3 children of Noah increased their population, and the Tower of Babel events incident happened. Again, at most, or 1 to 2 million people. So after the flood, they had to start their own civilization. They had to build, start farming and planting the fruit trees, gradually settled in. They also experienced the rain and the new concept of the weather, the cold and heat. So now they had to learn the ways to survive and to remember the experience of the Noah's Ark on the big things like flood. The humans who resemble God, the image of God, they could have become more like intelligent and learn how to live various ways. So there would have been more than 1600 years of culture and knowledge accumulated from the pre-flood creations. So they had a sufficient amount of knowledge, which may be much bigger than what we have. This the knowledge over 16,000 years of the time before the flood, which have been transferred from the 3 sons of Noah, and gradually developed by their descendants. This is how it happened, the birthplace of the first human civilization in the Mesopotamian region. Also, all the other cities all over the world. Now we see what happens in the earth today. So there is a great culture and knowledge which we can learn which accelerate the development even 4,000 years ago. So it's very contradict to what we learned according to the evolutionary theory. Indeed, at that time, they had a great technologies and advanced knowledge and skills to repopulate themselves, to rebuild civilizations. It's not true the ancestor, the human, mankind are the ape that evolved from monkeys. It started with great knowledge accumulated over 1,500 years before the flood. It's not like they are like the ancients. The ages ape started break the rocks and also make tools with it. They started using fire. They started with the stone axes as a primitive people. Because of this worldview, we can imagine that these things very contradict as you read the Bible. From the beginning of the 6 days creation, mankind was created like a perfect being. It was too wise to resemble the image of God. The Bible tells us our lives are becoming short, getting shorter and shorter, and wisdom is decreasing, and we are indeed deteriorating. Genesis chapter 4 verse 22 says, A man called Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all the instruments and bronze and iron. Clearly there was a technology being able to use also process different kinds of metals and elements. Zillah was the fifth son of Cain, the son of Adam. It can be clearly seen that they were the people before the flood who the Tubal-Cain could see when Adam was alive. So all those perfect knowledge from the perfect man who is Adam was passed down until the last generation just before the flood. On the other hand, there are still tribes living in isolated areas in the African jungle with tools made of stone. According to evolutionary theory, they were inferior to us, which is not the truth. A human is human and a monkey is monkey. It really depends, the way we live, it really depends on the extent of accumulated knowledge. Yeah, because Noah has knowledge, the pre-flood knowledge, and his descendants could rapidly repopulate and could quickly build amazing civilization and the culture and the major development. They had to start from the scratch. It's not about the advanced technologies. All the development and the knowledge and advanced technologies we have nowadays, it's due to the accumulation of the time and the knowledge passed down from all our descendants who achieved. So wisdom is different. The people at that time are wise enough holding all the enormous amount of knowledge and information from their ancestors. Before the flood, they could indeed use those wisdom in order to quickly rebuild a civilization. So this was the reason why I emphasized such facts. This is one of the critics used by the atheists. How? There's not enough time between Noah's flood and the Tower of Babel incident to rebuild a civilization in such a rapid manner. Because they just presumed, their wrong assumption is that the Babel Tower is enormous size. It couldn't be built by the population could grow during the 100 or 200 years after flood. So the mankind here, they could repopulate, and they're smart enough, as many big enough population was present, and indeed at that time. And sadly, the humans are like such beings, quickly forget everything, why their ancestors had to be judged and swapped away by the water, except 8 people. They totally forgot about this great story, and sadly, they decided to disobey to God as a whole group, as a whole nation, as a whole world. The God had to scatter them in order not to destroy them again, as he promised to Noah. So they couldn't reunite again in order to disobey to God. So those smart people who resembled the God's image and had a great wisdom, even though Noah and his three sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth were still alive at that time, they ended up forgetting everything what happened to Noah and Noah's sons. In other words, they forgot their identity. They forgot God's amazing grace and His love. Despite the witness of the great flood judgments, a lot were alive at that time. They didn't communicate with them. They didn't keep the absolute truth, the reasons of the flood judgment, the purpose of the new life. Again, remember here, the incident of the Babel Tower, it began to do against God. Noah and his children, who had undergone the tremendous task of flood judgment, would have educated and taught themselves what they should and shouldn't do when their descendants were born and grew up as a living witness of history. But as we know from the experience, we have a strong desire to live according to what we think right. We have a strong desire to live according to our instincts and greed. Which the same thing happened to Noah's descendants over 100 years after flood. In addition, indeed the way to live according to the word of God, God's will, it requires our willingness to obey to Him, and also control our sinful nature. So making us feel that what we want to do, what we want, can be wrong. Making our thoughts and actions unconscious and not easy to do so. People, including us, we may turn against God at the end to resist His laws and resist His absolute truth because we want to do what we want to do. And Satan, of course, intervenes and encourages us to live according to our own feelings, to live according to our own thoughts. As a result, we may compromise, and we resist, we condemn and attack what we do by doing according to our instincts, the rationalizing what we want to do, and tempering what we want. Trying to live according to God's will may not be selected. But I encourage you all, we do have the Word of God, absolute truth on our hands. So we can use our free wills to obey to Him, to control our free wills. Let's determine ourselves here. Even though we have such a strong sinful nature, don't repeat again what Noah's descendants did within 100 years after Noah's flood. We must know and discern the Bible and the history, its biblical history, very correctly, so we can closely link to what we have learned and also to our daily lives today. So if you need to know what is true belief and true faith, not just the color or favor of religion, we should disregard the idolatry and materialism and the physical pleasure and sexuality. It's so easy to compromise with it. Let's not forget what happened to Noah's descendants within 100 years, which is not really a long time. We may do the same thing. According to our greed, we may build Tower of Babel. So we should be always aware of the Word of God. We should hold on to it. That's the only way to be with God, to be on the right pathway, on the way to the heavens. So let's willingly obey to the Word of God in order to control our sinful nature. Let's use our free will in that way. I hope God's grace is amazing, Almighty God, and Holy Spirit is in us, in you. Amen.